Welcome to Managing Safety, brought to you by the Florida Aviation Network, an effort of the National Aviation Safety Foundation and a coalition of local, regional, and national aviation organizations and agencies. This talk show addresses strategies for thinking in today's complex aviation world. Now, here's Amy Loboda, editor of Aviation for Women magazine and Fast Team representative, Fort Myers, Florida, who is today's host.
Hello, everyone. This is Amy Loboda reporting from Fort Myers, Florida. My guest today is Dr. Peggy Chabrian, founder and president of Women in Aviation International. She is here to talk with us today about the organization's upcoming conference held during March, which is Women's History Month. Good morning, Peggy. How are you?
Good morning, Amy. Fine. How are you?
Ah, terrific. It is a beautiful day here in South Florida. How's things in Ohio?
Well, probably a little cooler, but we've got sunshine and going to hit maybe close to 50 today, so we're happy.
Ah, sunshine and 50 is just fine in the month of February. But you are looking forward right now, so I guess your mind's pretty into the thick of March. You've got a big conference coming up, is that correct?
Yes, in fact, it's our 24th Women in Aviation Conference, going to be held in Nashville, Tennessee, March 14 through 16.
Wonderful. Now, 24 years of these conferences. Tell me, what was it that inspired you to begin? I mean, that was quite a while ago, 1990?
Yeah, it was 3 years ago, yeah. Well, at the time, I was a faculty member with Embry-Riddle Aeronautical University, and most of the aviation colleges and universities back in the late 80s had very few women students. And the concept to have a conference in March in conjunction with Women's History Month kind of developed to bring in some women who were successful in aviation in a variety of different careers and fields and bring them in for a day. It turned out to be a day and a half conference to let them see that the women were out there doing things in aviation and as a kind of a motivational experience. And we had about 150 people at that first event back in 1990. We've grown a little bit since then.
I would think so. What's your general number who come to the event these days?
Over 3,000 the last couple of years. So
wow, more than 3,000. Now that's 3,000 women who get together?
Well, no, and that, thanks for asking. It's women and men, and always has been since that first conference in 1990. I know a lot of us, myself included, had men who were good mentors or certainly people we networked with and encouraged us, whether we were learning to fly or looking for that first job in aviation. We've always had a good representation. In fact, the membership of Women in Aviation, which is now over 8,000 strong, has about close to 10% of the membership are men, and at the conference, about 15% of the conference attendees are men. They always seem to like coming to a conference that has women, and they like airplanes, so it's a good mix, I think.
Well, interesting. 10% male. I've heard, actually, and this is rumor, so you can tell me if it's hearsay or not, that some of your chapters are more like 50% male.
Oh, that's true. Yes, in the chapter program, particularly with the college university student chapters, it is very high, and sometimes the chapter president or certainly some of the officers are some of the men students. So yes, it's a very great organization for men and women with the various networking opportunities, and our scholarship program. It's been a great success as well.
Well, let's talk a little bit about that scholarship program, because I would suspect that's one of the reasons you're getting those guys to join the chapters, particularly at the university level. How many scholarships are you offering at this conference?
At this conference, it's approximately 70 individual scholarships, and they vary. The scholarships are like a $1,000 scholarship, maybe for somebody starting on their private pilot certificate or rating, up to and including type ratings with some of the airlines and manufacturers. And we also have scholarships available for people in the maintenance areas. Pratt & Whitney, one of those sponsors for engine training types of scholarships. And there's scholarships for people in the management area, in engineering. It's so varied. That's one of the, I think, secrets to success, too, for women in aviation. The membership, the conference attendees, are available to people in all areas of aviation, whether it's general aviation, commercial, corporate, or the military. And it's also all areas, whether it's pilots or mechanics, air traffic controllers, writers, all the different interest in aviation, and aviation enthusiasts are also part of the organization, and the scholarships reflect that.
Well, one other area that I think I've noticed is that you do teacher workshops at each one of these conferences, and so you've got a fairly big contingent of members who are teachers.
That's true. Teachers, and wherever we hold the conference, whatever city we're located in, we try to get the word out to teachers in the area to come in and learn how they can use aviation in the classroom, whether it's for math or science or other subject matters that they're teaching in the classroom. And FAA has always been very involved with that and providing materials that the teachers can take back to their classrooms. But we also have a large number of attendees who may not be in a formal classroom setting, but they go out and make presentations in classrooms to children or to middle high school young people about careers and things. And they also provide work with maybe the Explorer Scout program or Girl Scouts or a venue of other youth programs that the chapter members are out and interacting with in their local communities.
Now, you talk a lot about teamwork. Who else does Women in Aviation work with? You mentioned the Girl Scouts, the Boy Scouts, Aviation Explorers, to get the word out about opportunities in aviation.
In terms of with youth, the organizations you mentioned, and also with local schools, again, in the areas where the chapters or where the conference is going to be. We also work with some of the aviation organizations, AOPA and EAA and GAMA and NBAA, and participate in some of their programs as well.
Okay, so people who are flying young eagles or people who are participating in the Women of the Aviation Worldwide Outreach event, which is about flying girls.
Mm-hmm.
What about, what was one I recently read? The GIFT program, which was a very interesting scholarship program that helped some women finish up their flight training. A lot of those people are members of Women in Aviation. Is that what you're saying? And vice
yes.
versa.
And vice versa, yes. I think that's, yes.
Okay.
We try to promote the other organizations and the projects and things that they do as well, because I think we're all trying to get more individuals, boys and girls, men and women, into aviation.
So there are several different organizations that also meet during the Women in Aviation Conference. Can you talk a little bit about
that? Sure. I can, and I hope I don't leave anybody out, but I might. I'll try not to. The Association of Women in Aviation Maintenance, AWAM, is always there. They hold their annual business meeting. They have scholarships that they award, and they also put on a FAA Maintenance Recurrent Training Program, which is FAA certified and always has a good attendance for that program. They also participate in our Daughter Day activity with some hands-on activities, letting the young girls learn how to use tools and things. Women in Corporate Aviation also has meetings and functions and participates with our annual conference. Women Military Aviators, ISA Plus 21, which is the Society of Women Airline Pilots, and you're putting me on the spot. I know I'm forgetting something.
What about the University Aviation Association? Did you mention?
Oh, yes. Thank you. University Aviation Association always hosts a college-university meeting, which is very helpful. We have probably 450 to 500 college and university students representing anywhere from 45 to 50 different universities each year at the convention. And this meeting specifically set aside for them gives them information how to make the best out of the conference, how to network, how to, whether it's something as simple as introducing yourself to somebody or how to follow up after the conference is over, whether it's for a job opportunity, maybe it's for an internship. And then there's usually a speaker that comes in and talks to them about the current status of a particular career area in the industry. So, yes, University Aviation very active with us as well.
Excellent. Listen, we're going to take a quick break here, and then when we get back, let's talk some more about those educational sessions at the conference. We will be right back with Managing Safety.
Now, let's rejoin Amy Lobota and Managing Safety, brought to you by the Florida Aviation Network.
Welcome back to sunny Fort Myers, Florida. I'm Amy Lobota, your host. And we are speaking today with Dr. Peggy Chabrian, founder and president of Women in Aviation International. She is here to talk with us today about the organization's upcoming conference held March 14th through 16th in Nashville, Tennessee, during Women's History Month. Now, Peggy, before the break, we were talking a little bit about the different groups that actually come together at the Women in Aviation Conference for their own meetups. But, you know, I'm looking at this schedule, and there's so many different things going on. You've got a career fair going on in the exhibit hall. You've got a terrific exhibitor directory. I think there's more than 100 exhibitors there. I noticed that you've also got these seminars and workshops and education sessions. Tell me a little bit about why 3,000 people are coming to this conference. I mean, that's a lot of people.
A lot of people. And there is one group that I failed to mention before the break, and I certainly want to not forget them, and we're featuring them this year in one of our general sessions, and that's the WASP.
Now, explain a little better who they are.
Okay. The Women Air Force Service pilots who flew basically all the aircraft that the military had in its inventory during World War II. There were over 1,000 of these women who participated, and now we're going to feature them, like I said, in one of our general sessions, and they're going to share some of their stories, which are always very interesting, of things that happened during World War II and some of the success that they had. So that's going to be one of our features this year, and I didn't want to forget to mention that.
Oh, no, of course not. And the other thing that is a big feature is the Pioneer Hall of Fame. Now, all the WASP who are going to be speaking seem to have already been inducted into your Pioneer Hall of Fame. You want to talk a little bit about why WAI has a Pioneer Hall of Fame?
Yes, the Hall of Fame actually began in 1992 as a way to recognize women who, and there's kind of two parts to the Hall of Fame. One is category for women who has achieved a particular record, maybe was the first to accomplish a particular aviation feat, and we've had several of those early pioneers. And also, another category, if you will, within the Hall of Fame is to recognize and honor women who have made contributions that have, if you will, helped bring other women into aviation. So there's kind of two parts to that.
Excellent, excellent. Now, many of your pioneers are still coming to the conference. I mean, that's an attraction in a sense, the ability to actually talk to, network, maybe even get some mentoring from one of those pioneers.
Yes, yes.
Okay, and then those education sessions. I mean,
education sessions, and since I know the topic or the theme is safety, we also have the chairman of the National Transportation Safety Board, Deborah Herson, speaking at the luncheon.
Yeah.
But it's
pretty exciting because right now she's actually slated to possibly become the head of the DOT.
Yes. And that'll be interesting if that happens before the conference, so we'll have to wait and see on that.
Exactly. You were saying, I'm sorry, I interrupted you.
That's all right. Well, in terms of, like you said, the education sessions, there are over 50 different education sessions over the course of the conference, and some of them are specific to safety. And I just maybe mentioned two here. There's one titled Safety Heritage and Airplane Interior Design, which looks at airplane accidents and probable causes and information from those accidents that have now impacted design principles that have put into new interior designs and things in aircraft. So we have speakers who come from some of the manufacturers, engineers and so forth, so there's topics for them. We also have an AME coming to talk about FAA medical certification. And, of course, part of being safe, the pilot, you need to be in good health and how to maintain that and so forth for your certification. But there's just a lot of different topics that cover a lot of different areas, and even some things, some practical things maybe on finances or moving up in an aviation career.
Well, I noticed you even had Toria Rodriguez, who's known in the aviation community for her work with the iPad.
Right. She's doing a seminar, Tips, Tricks, and Gotchas for iPad Revolutionizing the Cockpit. That should be a good one.
Excellent. That definitely should be a good one. Now, there's a couple other things I'm looking on your site right now, and one of the focuses this year that seems new is a focus on aircraft dispatchers.
Yes. We're offering an aircraft dispatcher Part 121 recurrent training course for the first time, and we think this is a good opportunity for our members or others who would like to come in and participate, who are dispatchers, and take advantage of this training and stay and participate in the rest of the conference too.
Ah, excellent. So that's a little bit like your FAA recurrent maintenance program.
Yes.
Where you do draw from the outside community. Now, one other thing that we didn't talk about that is outreach and drawing from the outside community. Do you want to tell me a little bit about this Bring Your Daughter to the Conference Day? That's Saturday, March 16th.
March 16th. And that started last year at the conference. We had invited the president of EAA, Rod Hightower, to come in and be one of our main speakers. And he asked the question after he was invited if it was okay if he brought his daughters. And passing that phrase along, if you will, to Pat Luke, he works with us in some of our marketing. She says, sounds like, you know, Bring Your Daughter to Work Day. And from that developed this concept of Bring Your Daughter to the Conference, which we had last year over 200 young ladies and their parents or Girl Scout leaders who participated. We're doing that again this year and expanding on it a little bit particularly for the middle school, high school young ladies, where they can interact with some of our participants in terms of finding out about careers. Some of the colleges and universities will be there to talk about aviation degree programs. And we still have a lot of the hands-on activities for the younger girls, whether it's flying a simulator, learning about using the Microsoft Flight Simulator program. There's a computer program on learning about air traffic control and separation standards. They'll actually get to build a model airport if they go to another activity center. So it's just a lot of things to excite, hopefully motivate them to consider, whether it's whether it's learning to fly, becoming an aviation enthusiast, or actually maybe pursuing a career.
Wow. Now, there are some special tours. Tell me a little bit about the location you chose for this conference. Why did you choose Nashville?
Oh, a few different reasons, I guess. It's a nice, if you will, central location, easy for folks to drive or fly to from a large area. But also, there's a lot of aviation history in the state of Tennessee, and like you said, some tour options. The Arnold Engineering Development Center that the Air Force maintains is about an hour away, and they've got some excellent things to see, some wind tunnels, smoke tunnels, testing centers that people will have an opportunity to visit. The Beach Heritage Museum, of course, Olivan Beach was very instrumental in the start of that museum in Tullahoma, Tennessee, is another tour option. The Smyrna Airport has opened up their facilities and some of the special things they have for another tour.
Ah, terrific. Now, I did notice that a lot of these are on Wednesday. You tell me that the conference starts on Thursday, March 14th, but all these things are on Wednesday.
That's true. I should have said 13 through 16. That's true. Now, another new thing that's happening this year is the we're working with SAFE, and
Let's talk a little bit. Hang on, because not everybody knows what SAFE is. Tell me a little bit about them.
Okay, SAFE is the Society of Aviation Educators, Flight Educators. So it's an association for flight instructors. And they started a program last year called the PPP, Pilot Proficiency Program, which they tested or launched, I guess you'd say, at Oshkosh. They did it again at AOPA, and Women in Aviation, I think, is the third place they're going to be hosting this. Redbird Simulators is participating. There'll be a Redbird Simulator in the exhibit hall. SAFE flight instructors will do 30-minute simulations, and you can pick from, I think it's 12 or 14 different scenarios, whether it's mountain flying or soft field takeoff and landing. There's different scenarios anyway. The person picks which one they wanted to do. There's a 50-minute briefing with the instructor, a 30-minute flight in the simulator, and then a 15-minute debrief. So all related to safety, and some of this relates to some common safety accident causes that are some of the simulations. So something new this year.
Wow. Now, you know, Redbird Flight Simulations has quite the flight simulator. Have you had a chance to fly that?
Not yet, but I've been told if I get a chance, I'm going to go by there and fly one in March.
Okay. Do you know which one of their training devices they're bringing?
I do not.
Okay.
Sorry.
They have a big line from the tabletop type. I would guess that they're going to bring one of their full motion simulators, which are quite exciting to be in and more realistic than you would believe until you get going in it. It can be very, very immersive. So that's a special opportunity. Now, people aren't going to be able to actually sign up unless they're on site for that. Is that correct?
That's correct. It'll be in the exhibit hall, and they'll have to.
Right.
But it is a full motion simulator, but I couldn't tell you like a model number or anything.
Ah, yes. Okay. Excellent. They just have one or two of the full motion. So it's got to be either the FMX or the MCX or the MX2 you know. So we'll see what they bring, but that's really quite exciting. Now, one of the other things that we didn't get a chance to talk a lot about, but I'd just like to get in here at the end before we wrap up, is the career fair. Can you talk a little bit about the career fair tradition in the exhibit hall?
Yes. There's a virtual career fair that companies can post jobs at no cost to them. A lot of times there's a fee for that kind of service. And any of the attendees or any of our members, if you can't get to the conference, can post their resumes and apply for those positions.
Now
online.
That's through aeroindustryjobs.com. Is that one of our partners?
Yes, that's true.
Excellent. Okay. But what about on-site?
Well, we certainly have a lot of opportunities there in the exhibit hall. Like I said, over 100 exhibitors, and a lot of the companies are there with the folks from their human resources department. They're looking to hire people, or even if there's not positions maybe immediately, they're certainly collecting resumes or talking to people for potential openings that may happen throughout the year. And then, of course, with the education sessions, there are a lot of different career panels. There's just a lot of good networking and job opportunities available throughout the conference.
Well, you know, it's tough to find a job these days still. So it coming to the conference and bringing your resume and having that ability to do hands-on and face-to-face interacting with people pays off, has it? I mean, do people get jobs from Women in Aviation?
They certainly do. And here's one quick story. 2 years ago, I think it was ExoJet, participated for the first time. We were in Reno, so it was relatively close to where their headquarters is over in the San Francisco area. So they decided to give Women in Aviation Conference a try because it was close and it would be an easy one to attend. So they came, they had a booth in the exhibit hall, and less than a month later, I was at another aviation event, and one of the vice presidents from ExoJet made a point of coming up to tell me that it was one of the most successful conferences they had attended in terms of recruitment. They had hired 9 pilots specifically as a direct result of attending our event in Reno, and they said if we had to cancel any other shows because of budget cuts or something the following year, we would not cut your jerseys on the top of our list. And they've been coming back ever since, and we'll be here in March again.
That's terrific. Now, Peggy, would you please let people know where they can sign up for the 24th Annual International Women in Aviation Conference?
The easiest way, our website, www.wai.org.
Excellent. WAI.org, and click on the conference button that's in the middle of the page there. It's the 2013 Annual International Women in Aviation Conference. It's going to be March 14th through 16th, 2013 in Nashville, Tennessee, and the theme is setting the stage for your success. Well, Peggy, I really hope that this is a successful conference for Women in Aviation International, and I look forward to seeing you there.
I look forward to seeing you there too, Amy. Thank you.
You're welcome. This is Amy Labota with Managing Safety. Fly safe.
We hope you've enjoyed today's Managing Safety, brought to you by the Florida Aviation Network, an effort of the National Aviation Safety Foundation and a coalition of local, regional, and national aviation organizations and agencies. Please visit our studio website to hear past programs.